Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, my friends, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 30 March 2026. Hard to believe we're down the last couple of days this month already, and we got a lot to talk about tonight with our guest, Ted Whalen. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Before we go there, though, some prayer requests, please. Jenny Cross and her husband Steve come to our Bible study. Y'all probably remember seeing one online if you watch the broadcast. Her sister Lori needs some prayers. She's having some really serious physical problems. So please keep Lori in your prayers. Please do that. Also, Joe and Kelly come to Bible study all the time. They're faithful to our Bible study. Joe and Kelly Cannon are with us every time we're together. Joe's going to have open heart surgery this Thursday. So please keep Joe in your prayers and Kelly also. And keep doing your prayers for a quick healing, please. Use prayer warriors. Joe and Lori need your prayers, please. Now, we are going to have Bible study this weekend. I can't think of a reason why we shouldn't. The weather is supposed to be decent. We should be able to get together this weekend for Bible study. We missed a couple of weeks because Lynn was having surgery. I tell you, between Dick and now Lynn had some problems, and now Joe and Phil myself also. Getting older is starting to tell on us a little bit. So please, if you would, join us this weekend for Bible study. All you have to do to watch us live is go to PastorButch.com, PastorButch.com, and click on live stream, right? On Rumble. At 10:30 a.m. Eastern, there will be. The first half hour is always dedicated to prayer requests and praise reports. 11:30, 12:30 Eastern, we do Christian Worldview News. And then 1 or 2, we do Bible study. Please come and join us this week if you can. Go to PastorButch.com and click on Listen Live. And if you can't do that, just call the number at 339-209-5013. 339-209-5013 and join us, please, if you can at all this weekend, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. That's on Saturday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern. Come and join us if you can for the Bible study and the lesson and the Christian Worldview News. Don't get this week will be the last week we have the specials on for the toothpaste mouthwash, Vitamir toothpaste mouthwash. You can get buy three of each or mix them up, but three or more, get 10% off. And of course, in James last week, James McKinney put the water filters back on special. Call tomorrow and ask Faith about that. You can call 800-777-4403. 800-777-4403. or 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. Feel free to call Mar and ask any questions, place order, whatever you want to do. We'd love for you to do that, and we'd appreciate it, folks. Right down the end of the month, our funds have never recovered where they need to be yet for the first of the month. We're just trusting the Lord to see what happens. That's all I can do about that also. Now, our guest tonight, 74, is Ted Whalen. He's been on the program in the past several times, and what a wonderful guest to have on. You know, I learned a lot from Ted Whalen. I learned a lot by trying to pay attention to what's happening in our country, scripture, and the history of our nation. I don't make a lot of friends talking about this, but it doesn't change the fact, folks, that the Constitution and Bill of Rights, without the Word of God, is nothing but a piece of paper. It means nothing. Without the foundation of Jesus Christ, as accepted as the Word of God, and his laws being supreme, no nation, no family, and no individual can stand long. Our nation is in a mess, and it's getting worse every day. Our nation is literally falling apart internally. It's been taken down externally. We're seeing scriptures come to pass, folks. What happens to nations that forget God? They are turned into hell. And that's happening right now as we speak. Our guest tonight, Ted Whalen, a lot of people I've known all the years I've been out there trying to broadcast and expose what's happening, his information, his knowledge on what's happened to our country, I think is probably the most complete knowledge out there available that explains why it happened and how it's happened. So pay attention. We can't turn this country around. I'm convinced America is sinned beyond redemption. I believe that. I do. Except for the divine interference of God or intervention of God. And that's not going to happen without repentance of his people. I don't see it happening. Our children and grandchildren are going to pay a hellish price for our ignorance and their indifference. That's just all there is to it. And Ted, are you there?
Here. Hey, Butch.
It's good to have you, my friend, and thank you for joining me. I do appreciate it. I know that probably a lot of people think you're crazy, and and I'm kind of tickled that you feel way about you because I don't feel so lonesome now. But anyway, before we start,
let me respond to that by saying there's a beautiful poem that I do get called crazy and everything else under the sun, and I'm sure you do as well. But there's a great poem that says, "Some say I am a fool. To this I say is true. I am a fool for Christ, but whose fool are you?"
Amen. That's very true. And Ted, we have been played like a fiddle for a long, long time in this country. Before getting that tonight, though, tell the folks about who Ted Whalen is, what you do, and why people think you're crazy.
Okay. Well, first of all, this may not be the answer you're expecting from me, but Ted Weiland is a dumb, tobacco-spitting, cussing bull rider from years ago, and a young man that was actually a criminal, and I'm not kidding about that. I was a thief and other things as well. And if people want to, you know, I've been preaching the gospel now for over 50 years, and people who meet me of late, you know, or whether it's over the internet or otherwise, you know, they think that what they see is Ted Weiland or what they hear from me is Ted Weiland. Well, let me assure you, Butch, that's not Ted Weiland. I know Ted Weiland, and I know what he was before Christ touched my life. And if anybody finds anything good in my life, it's only because of Christ and what he showed me. And
amen.
I think I've shared this with your audience before, but I claim 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 28 as my passage. Now, you can borrow it, but I'm telling you, this is Ted Weiland, where it says, "For see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." That's Ted Weiland. If you want, you know, when people ask me, you know, introduce yourself, who's Ted Weiland? Well, that's Ted Weiland. And for some reason, by God's grace, he chose me when I was so undeserving, as we all are, and has chosen to not only allow me to know him, but to serve him and to help in whatever fashion I can to advance his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And as far as beyond that, thank goodness to God and his grace and mercy, I have two websites. The one in particular that's probably most related to the discussion here is BibleLawVersusConstitution.org. Again, that's Bible, excuse me, I might have sent Bible Law. It's actually Bible Versus, Versus spelled out, V-E-R-S-U-S, BibleVersusConstitution.org. Now, that alone should probably tell some people why people think I'm crazy, because I have pitted the Bible against the Constitution. And in fact, I haven't even done that. It's the Constitution that's pitted itself against the Bible. And that goes, as you know, Bush, that goes contrary to everything that the majority, at least, the vast majority of what we find being taught on the Constitution. They're teaching the exact opposite of what Ted Weiland is teaching, and thus Ted Weiland's got to be crazy. But I guarantee if anyone will do what I have done with the book I have written on this, in which I have taken the Bible and examined every article and every amendment of the Constitution and its amendments by the Bible, written a book, I think it's like 580 pages, if I'm not mistaken, fully documented. If anyone will do what I have done, you know, if they know the Bible well enough to do it, they will find out that it's not Ted Weiland that's crazy. It's all these other pastors and preachers and Christians who are promoting what is not just a piece of paper, excuse me, but it is a book that is antithetical, if not seditious, to our God's sovereignty and his morality in nearly every article and amendment. And it is the reason for the official commencement of America's suicidal trek to the precipice upon which she finds herself precipitously teetering as we speak. And I know for the average person who's heard nothing but the opposite of that, how difficult this has got to be to even consider. But I'll guarantee you that that is, in fact, the truth. And regrettably, there's been, let me back up and say, you know, an idol die hard. And I don't care what idol it is, but this idol particularly dies very, very hard. And in Acts 19, we're told there that the people, in response to the gospel at one point, in wanting to persecute Paul and his traveling companions, cried out for two solid hours, "Great is Artemis," or Diana, depending on your version, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." It was their idol. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Great is Artemis, for two solid hours. Can you imagine? Well, that doesn't begin to compare with what's been going on here in America, and ironically, led by Christians for the most part, we've been crying out, America has been crying out, led by these Christians, for over 230-plus years.
Yes.
Great is the Constitution of the United States. Great is the Constitution of the United States. You go on any quote-unquote conservative site, and you're going to find that time and time and time again. Again, and people responding in turn saying the same thing. And thus, when Ted Weiland gets on there and says it's not true, folks, and provides the evidence, it's hard to accept, and it reaps some pretty bad accusations against myself or anyone else who would take on what is that. And by the way, the Declaration of Independence is no different. I've written a book where I went through the entire Declaration of Independence as well. It's called Biblical Examination of the Declaration of Independence, Declaration of Liberty versus Declaration of Independence, in which, again, I've gone through that entire document as well. And it is not, a lot of people say, okay, God isn't mentioned in the Constitution. Christ isn't mentioned in the Constitution. The Bible isn't mentioned in the Constitution. His laws aren't referred to. But, boy, we've got the Declaration, and that's the brainchild, or I forget the term they use, that ties the Constitution back into God and Creator. The problem is that the principal author of the Declaration of Independence is Thomas Jefferson, and Thomas Jefferson was an antichrist who in a letter to Adams, which I document in the book, wrote that the virgin birth of Christ, his miracles, his resurrection and ascension were, quote-unquote, a dung heap. He was an antichrist. He had a cut-and-paste Bible that he created where he cut everything out he didn't like and, you know, did basically as, I forget the king's name, maybe you'll remember, but the one in the Old Testament who, during Jeremiah's days, he was presented with one of Jeremiah's messages, and he simply cut line by line out and threw it into the fire.
Oh, yes,
and it's no different today.
Yes.
So many people when it comes to what they want to accept out of the Bible.
Well, you know,
anyway, let me point this out. The website Bible Verses spelled out, versusconstitution.org. The two books I've just mentioned, as well as several others, I have made free of charge all of my books on my websites. You can go there, go to our online book page, and you'll find the 580 pages, the entire book there of Bible Law Versus Constitution, the Christian Perspective, and also Biblical Examination of the Declaration. Those books, and I think the Declaration book is probably around 300 pages as it is, an examination of that entire document. So they can find that. They don't have to order the books. If they want to just download it, I don't necessarily encourage reading it from the computer. I don't think that's good on your eyes. But they can download it from there and not have to pay a dime for anything. And in fact, all of my books are available free for anybody. If you can't afford the suggested donation, you want the books themselves, and you can't afford it, and you will use it either for yourself or for someone else, I will send the books themselves free of charge as well. Now, there's
That's
one other
enough.
Way that you can get what's called the primer to Bible Law Versus Constitution. If those that are listening will go to BibleVersusConstitution.org and then look for the 10-question Constitution survey. It's just 10 questions. It's in the right-hand sidebar on the very first page that you'll bring up when you bring up the web page. You take those 10 questions and fill out the form, and I will send you what is an 85-page primer of Bible Law Versus the Constitution book, the entire book. So we've gotten it down to it's hard. A lot of people don't want to read a 580-page book, so this is hopefully a little bit more easy for people to read. And we sent a few other things along with that. But you'll get the book free, sent to your address, postage paid, by just taking that survey. So I hope some of your folks will do that, and we'll get the books out to them. And because if what I'm sharing, Butch, is true, this icon of the American people, that in the Declaration, if in fact they are the reason why nationally America finds herself on the precipice of moral depravity and destruction, it's got to be dealt with. And I have tried, and so I'm trying to make this material available as much as possible. Now, I'm like you. I think America's beyond repentance. And I think that right now we're under judgment, and it's only going to get worse. But the good thing about God's judgment is everything goes wrong just right. And over and over and over again in the Old Testament, in fact, I just kind of noticed this maybe 5-6 years ago. It was, I tell people, I got the flattest forehead in the country. I've had so many biblical epiphanies over the years. And I love having a flat forehead, I'm telling you. When God shares something from his word and he reveals something you hadn't seen before, it is just such a thrill. And one of them was, maybe not some as big as some of the others I've received, but you know, I've been through the Bible nearly 70 times, cover to cover, over the years. And again, it's amazing how many times you can read something and then it just doesn't dawn on you what's really there. And one of those was the dozens and dozens of time where it says in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it says that they may know that I am Yahweh, when you reinsert the sacred name there. And I haven't actually counted them, but I will, from my estimation, I would say that 90 to 95% of the times when that phrase is found, it's following judgment. And, you know, Isaiah 55:11 says that God's word does not come back void. And it was a great help to me. You know, we want to see a great harvest of souls. Well, we already know from Matthew 7:13 and 14 that the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who find it, and the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and it's only a few who are going to find it. So, but we still, our heart's desire is to see a great harvest of souls. But I realize, wait a minute, Ted, you're preaching, even though that just never going to happen the way we'd like it to happen, God's word does not come back void. It does work regardless, and there's two types of harvest. One, the type that we'd like to see, and then there's the harvest of judgment. His word will do what it's supposed to do with those, whether they be the righteous or the unrighteous. For example, Deuteronomy 28 and the first 14 verses that talk about the blessings when we serve God and promote his kingdom and his laws, and then the 15 through 68 of Deuteronomy 28 that provide the curses. And you might note that there's about four times as many verses curses than there are blessings. Yes. But yes. Boy, if we could get on to the blessings, you know, there's enough blessings there. And you know, but there was a time when America was being blessed.
Yeah, amen.
You know, mega, the term is right. You know, let's make America great again. Well, it's not really right because it implies that we're going to do it. Neither Trump nor anyone else can make America great again.
You know, and by the way, I got to tell you this. That is one of the hardest things I make people understand. I mean, people actually believe that Trump was sent to save his country, and I've had other people tell me, well, we're winning. No, we're not winning.
We are...
Maybe if you look at it through the eyes of someone who wants to be deceived, Trump has done some things that I agree with, but he is absolutely, in my mind, the most dangerous president we've had in my lifetime. His deception, his lies, flat out lies. He lies more than he talks, and that's hard to do. But that's just who he is. And I don't mean that. I'm not trying to make anybody angry. But if they can't see that by now, then they're never going to see it. The man is a con. He is a egotistical, self-indulgent, arrogant individual that is leading the people down the primrose path with words. He's always great and mighty words he's saying, but nothing's come about that he's ever promised. He's lied to us with every breath he's had, almost. And I didn't like Biden. I didn't like Obama. I didn't like Clinton. I didn't. I'm not saying I did. I don't know if anybody's been in the presidency that I've actually cared much for, because every one of them has lied to us and deceived us right further and further into hell. And that's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it definitely is. And as I was saying, you know, Trump cannot make America great again any more than you and I can. Only God can make America great, and he will only do it for the same reason he did so previously. Now, most people have been convinced, hoodwinked, that it's the result of the Constitution that America was great. No, the America's greatness and what was still there in the 1700s was the leftovers from the early 1600s when the governments such as the 1639 New Haven, Connecticut government and its constitution. And if you want to find a biblical constitution, look that one up. In fact, I've got part of that constitution in chapter 3 on the preamble in the Bible Law versus Constitution book. But you can all go online and get the whole document. You want to find a biblical document? Go read that one. And according to Deuteronomy 1 through 14 and God's blessings, the blessings upon a nation who look to him as sovereign and his laws as supreme, and you find the reason why America was blessed. Either God's a liar or the blessings came as a result of those Puritans who established not humanistic governments of by and for man,
that's right.
As in the Constitution's preamble, but governments of by and for God, expressly established upon his law, his moral law, the Ten Commandments, statutes, and judgments, and exclusively governed by biblically qualified men of God.
Now, I've got to repeat what you said.
America was blessed.
So if people didn't catch this, folks, he said, of, by, and for God, not of, by, and for the people.
Yeah.
If you follow people's direction, inevitably it will lead to destruction because people turn from God as they grow in progress. Hosea 4:6-7 says very clearly that they turn their back on God because they prosper and they grow. So this is a fact. So please, he's telling you the truth. It's of, by, and for God, not for the people. It's not for the people's sake. It's all about Jesus Christ, God Almighty, and his law on this earth. And until we go back to that, if we go back to that, there's no hope for this country. Go ahead, Ted. I don't want to start getting carried away here, but that's great.
That's all right. You're doing great. You know, you just look at the first three words of the preamble of the Constitution. What are those? We, the people. You know, the emphasis is on we the people, and then it says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect nation, and I go through and tear this whole thing apart, but I want to just focus on one part of it. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, established justice. I mean, Butch, are you kidding me? We the people, they're the ones who establish justice? That's crazy. God is the one who is the only one who's responsible for establishing justice, and that justice is found in his, and let me emphasize some words here, in his criminal justice capitalized system as juxtaposed with the Constitution's criminal capitalized.
Hang on to the break. Hang on to the break. Don't lose that thought, please. Don't lose that thought. And, of course, our justice system, folks, is too hard. We can't follow it. Anyway, back after the break. What's phone call next half hour? 717-300-1698.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406 274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Nettie, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Nettie, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Folks, we are back in talking to Ted Whalen. Get you a piece of paper handy. We're going to give you a way to get some books that you need to read. Now, I know some of y'all are probably very mad at me, and that's okay. You won't believe me. You're not the first one to get mad at me. You had just talked to my wife. She'll tell you, she's been mad at me a few times. But we're telling the truth now because we care. Our country, I'm convinced, is unredeemable as a nation. But we're not. You're not. Christ's word and Christ's blood and Christ's grace is still needed today. It's the only hope we have as individuals. The only hope we have as a nation, as individuals for sure, that's the only hope we have. And I'm going to ask Ted to give you his information again and maybe a way that you can contact him. I don't know if he has a phone number or not. But if you want any of his books, if you can't call Ted directly, you can send me a donation. I'll send it to him. If you can't afford that, let me know, and I'll get your address to Ted and tell us what books you want. Folks, it's important that we learn the Word of God. This is, as my song said, this is not a game we're playing. We're at war here.
Not at all.
We're at war here. And Ted, can people call a number to talk to you about the books? Or
I don't
know. Need to call me?
I don't typically give out the phone numbers. In fact, I really try to avoid the phone calls.
I understand that. No problem.
My time constraints are such that I really try to stay away from the phone. But I can give you them. I'll give them my email address.
All right, do that. And also give us a price of the books in case they can afford to buy one or two of them.
Okay. The email address is my first initial, T as in Ted, and then my last name. So it's T-W-E-I-L-A-N-D, T-W-E-I-L-A-N-D, at Vista, that's Victor, I-S-T-A, Beam, B as in boy, VistaBeam.com. So it's T. Weiland at VistaBeam.com. Or they can just, it'd probably be even easier. If they will go to Bible versus Constitution, again, versus spelled out, V-E-R-S-U-S, BibleVersusConstitution.org, there will be a place there where they can a contact button and a sign-up button for our emails that we send out, ministry emails. And then they have access to the web page as well. I would particularly direct them first to the 10-question Constitution survey in the right-hand sidebar, and if they'll take that 10-question survey and fill out the form, I will send them a free copy to their address, postage paid, of the 85-page primer of the big book, which is, again, I think 575, 580 pages, Bible Law versus Constitution, the Christian Perspective. So they can get that, they can get the free book right off the bat by just taking the 10-question Constitution survey. If they want prices, suggested donations on the books, if they want the books themselves, suggested donations are on our store page. However, they're there available on our online book page, as well as I will send books free of charge or for whatever they can afford to send the books themselves if they'd like to have them in their hands. So I'm not in building Ted Weiland's empire. I'm for promoting and advancing God's kingdom in whatever way possibly Amen. I can, and I'll leave the ability to do so with God to provide what we need to do that. So, but if they can, of course, send a donation, that's what we live on. I don't have a salary, and everything's by free will giving and tithing. So can I jump right back where we left off in the last hour?
Well, let me say one more thing very quickly. Folks, if you don't have a lot of y'all don't have computers. I realize that. But if you want his books, if you want to make a donation, I will see he gets it. And give me an idea of which books you want, and we'll get them out to you, okay? If you can't afford it, still write me. I'll see that he gets your information. He will send you a couple books to read. Now, I would suggest that you get them, but for goodness sake, when you get them, read them. Look at them. Study them as far as what they say. Let it sink in. It took a long time for me to get off that Constitution Bill of Rights horse. I rode it a long way before I figured out this isn't what the Word of God says at all. So it was glorifying man. That's what it was doing exactly. We had a Christian government from up until early 1600, maybe mid-1700s. Then we lost it. And that's just a fact. If you want those books, let me know if you can't get the money or don't have an address, whatever you need, let me know if I can help, okay? Go ahead, Ted. We'll make a few more points, and then we'll take a phone call or two. Go ahead.
I'll also mention that I also wrote a curriculum for the primer, the 85-page primer, as well. It's got Teacher's Guide, a Student's Workbook, and then the primers come with that as well. And I'd say, you know, for anybody that either already is where we're at with what we're talking about, and or, you know, hopefully, Lord willing, you know, can see what we're talking about and gets to where we're at, this would be something for high school age and up. If you're a homeschooler, that curriculum was made for homeschooling as well as adults as well. It's, I think you'd find it a great tool for that purpose. But we were talking about the Constitution's criminal justice system as contrasted with the Bible's criminal justice system. And, you know, people should at least recognize the second half of that, that God's criminal justice system is just. I mean, it's based upon his justice, his righteousness, and his what's described in Psalms 19:7-11 as the perfect law of liberty. And it goes, and it mentions at least, and among others, it mentions the commandments, the statutes, and judgments, the Ten Commandments, the statutes that explain those commandments, and the civil judgments that enforce them. Those are the foundational laws for all of the covenants, including the new covenant. Now, a lot of people are what's known as antinomian today, and don't believe that there any part of God's laws is in effect today. They've been hoodwinked on that as well. I also have a book called Law and Kingdom, Their Relevance Under the New Covenant, and proof from the New Testament alone. There's 37 New Testament scriptures alone that prove that God's law, the commandments, statutes, and judgments, not the Mosaic Covenant, but the commandments, statutes, and judgments, are still. I mean, that's God's morality. I mean, Amen. You do away with Amen. The Ten Commandments, statutes, and judgments, Butch, and you do away
you
with
have
God's
nothing.
Morality.
You have nothing. You have nothing left to
do. And if you do away with God's morality, you do away with God.
Amen.
So if people need to read. I mean, that's really the basis of these books I've written is God's perfect law of liberty. That's where we find liberty. Liberty was officially lost in 1787 when they ditched the perfect law of liberty for this biblically seditious Constitution they created. And as an example, we were talking again about the Constitution's criminal justice system versus the Bible's criminal justice system, and you can find it. I mean, you talk about an audacious statement in I read it a little bit earlier from the preamble. The preamble begins with "We the people," and at one point it says "for establishing justice." And let me just read. This is from, I'm going to read a little bit here from, well, just a couple paragraphs, but from the third chapter of Bible Law versus Constitution, the Christian Perspective. It's where the first two chapters I deal with, one of them I deal with the perfect law of liberty, and I can't remember what chapter two is about now. But chapter three begins with the preamble. That's where I start examining the Constitution. So chapter three deals with the preamble, and in that chapter, this is part of what I wrote. According to Habakkuk, and I'd already mentioned the reference, it was Habakkuk 1:7. But it says, according to Habakkuk, not only did the Chaldeans' authority originate with themselves, their authority, as in the preamble, originate with themselves, but so did their justice. And so does the justice of we the people. Quote, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice." End of what I quote there from the preamble. And then I say, what an audacious assertion. Only Yahweh is just, and only he can establish justice. And then I quote, as proof, Psalms 89:14. It's actually found in two different psalms, where it says, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy," speaking of God's throne, "justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face." And then just a little bit later, I point out that any time autonomous man attempts to establish justice outside Yahweh's moral laws, the result is always injustice. In Isaiah 5:20, this transposition is depicted as calling good evil and evil good. The word autonomous comes from the two Greek words, auto meaning self and nomos meaning law. The word, which literally means self-law, is just another way of describing humanism and, in this instance, constitutionalism. Because constitutionalism was nothing. I mean, again, God's not mentioned in the document. The closest thing they got to doing in the Constitution, and this is questionable whether this was their purpose or not, but is in Article 7, where they signed the Constitution and they put the time in it. They made God the timekeeper in the year of our Lord. That's the closest they got in the entire document to mentioning God or his law or his word. Well, no wonder it became the document it was. Now, regrettably, there's only one ethical standard by which everything should be examined, and that's God, his, and particularly his morality is found in his moral law and his word. And the problem has been is that people have been so intrigued and so desirous of those men, the constitutional framers and the other founders, being our guys, and that document being our document, that nobody's bothered to examine the thing by the standard, the ethical standard of God's law and God's word and God's morality. And I guarantee you, be honest, be truthful, just take the word of God and examine that document. And as I've already stated, there's hardly an article or an amendment that's not antithetical, if not seditious, to God's morality and his sovereignty is found in his word.
I totally agree. I agree. And by the way, and we're going to take a phone call, man. I promise we are. We'll get to you in a minute, Joe. But sadly, I would venture to say that not more than two or three people will call and get the books, although thousands listen. Most of them don't want to get into it. Maybe they believe it, but they don't want to study it. They just want to take your word for it, or they want to ignore it, whichever they want to do. But that's the sad thing. That's why we're in this mess. The people, the so-called church, really doesn't care enough to get involved. Let's go to Joe right here in West Virginia. Joe, come on in. Welcome.
Well, what's happened with the church is that they decided that in all the denominations, they're too busy. Everyone's fighting who's right and who's wrong. That's why the church has failed.
Well, that's certainly part of it, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so I would... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, when it comes to God's judgment, which you brought up earlier, and I just did a teaching this week on God's judgment, last week on God's judgment, is that it's not hard when you read the Bible. God's judgment is, he uses two primary ways of judging the people. He uses nature, or he uses man.
Absolutely.
And we've been watching the weather for the last 20 years and how much has changed in the world, which is not global warming. God uses man to bring judgment upon man.
If he does.
If God was, God the Father, Yahweh, was supposed to, come right out and say, hey, here I am, I'm judging the world, and he spoke to us, then he's not truly God, because he's forcing his will on people. But he's used so many different things to bring judgment, and yet people aren't seeing it. According to Leviticus chapter 26, he says, if you walk contrary to me, I will walk contrary to you. And the church and the people of this nation has walked contrary to God, because the government is truly the church, except the church has rejected the government of the God's word and accepted man's word, just like the Pharisees did in the days of Christ. When he was crucified, he said, our king is Caesar. No king but Caesar.
Well,
and the church has failed so miserably.
Well, we have all, and I'm sure that Brother Ted can see this greatly. We have been re-educated from the Word of God in the so-called public school zones we send our children to. They haven't taught godly principles in my lifetime in there, and it's gotten a hellish a lot worse since I graduated back in 1966. Our schools have done a good job destroying the children. Do you agree with that, Ted?
Yes, absolutely. American, piggybacking on what Joe has said, American, be thankful that God is long-suffering, and that his patience is incredible, really. And, that the official beginning of America as a nation, leaving God, can be, when you go back, you look at the genesis of why we're at where we're at. It takes you right back to 1787 and the creation of the United States Constitution. And yet God, look, it's how many years later, 250 years since the Declaration of Independence, 230 plus years since the initiation of the Constitution, the adoption of the Constitution. God's patience is great. But as proven with the Canaanites, when God promised Abraham the land of Canaan, he said it was his, but he wasn't to take possession of it for years, and it wouldn't be until his great grandchildren actually took possession of it. And he made this statement. He said, it's yours, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says it's yours, but you don't get it. You don't take possession of it until the iniquity of the Canaanites is complete.
Amen.
And so it took hundreds of years. So it shouldn't surprise us that in 1787 and thereabouts, that it almost appears like, these blessings, at least the way it's taught today, that these blessings that America have had is a result of the Constitution. No, that's when America began to be cursed, but God's long-suffering, and it was only incrementally done at first with America, slowly, and then compounding over time and getting faster and faster. And we're seeing a time right now where, who knows how much more long-suffering God will be, but it's compounding, and I don't think anybody who's got eyes to see and ears to hear what's going on around them today, from a biblical perspective, that cannot see that this is compounding almost on a daily basis.
It truly is.
Well, and I want to add to that, in Leviticus, it says that I will punish the people, and if they do not repent, then I will increase by sevenfold.
Yeah, that's right.
It seems like today that's what's happening. It's increasing and it's increasing. And, getting back to the church, the pilgrims were right on when they came here. They might have been a little legalistic, but they kept the Sabbaths, they kept the holy days, they admired God's word as being law. And and they knew God's grace, and we forgot about this in 1776.
Regrettably, we lost it a lot sooner than that, and yet God still was willing to bless us as a result of even that short period of time when they had dominion. You know, most people don't recognize that God has given us a commission of dominion. One of the problems is not only that they've thrown out God's laws relative today, God's moral law, again, the Ten Commandments, statutes, and judgments, but they turned Romans 13 on its head.
Oh, they did. Absolutely. Joe, thanks for calling.
I've written two commentaries on Romans 13, 1 through 7.
Oh, yeah, you too.
And thanks for calling.
The second one was the result of revelation, one of those head-flattening epiphany times. For me, even after I'd written on a book on it to begin with, but it was realizing that Romans 13, 1 through 7 has nothing whatsoever to do with secular government. It's our biblical commission for dominion, and I can prove it. The book I've written on this is called The Romans 13 Template for Biblical Dominion, 10 Reasons Why Romans 13 is Not About Secular Government. Those 10 reasons out of the context and related passages, and you can prove it by one word. This word is when I had the epiphany. It's in verse 6. It's the word continually. That word alone proves that the government that's being described there has nothing to do with secular government whatsoever, certainly not promoting obedience to secular government. And that's where I got that far previously. But it has nothing to do with secular government. It's our commission for biblical dominion, because that word continually in verse 6 relates to verses 3 and 4 that talks about the government that's being described there as being continually a blessing to the righteous, and I'll use another word, but perpetually a terror to the righteous. Now, amen. There is no way that description can apply to any secular government. No secular government, which is basically a humanistic government based upon man's law, is anywhere near continually a blessing to the righteous and a perpetual terror to the wicked. That only describes God's law. And for anybody, you know, certainly didn't describe the Roman Empire, which was arguably the most anti-Christian, vicious government that ever existed. So Paul wasn't promoting in any way obedience to the Roman government, or even describing
obedience to what
laws they may have had that were in line with the scriptures. Instead,
go ahead. I'll go ahead and finish.
I was going to say it's so important that we understand we have a commission, like they took to heart in the early 1600s, to take dominion on behalf of our king, of government and society. And because we have shirked that, like Esau did his birthright, we are now in the mess we are. It goes all the way back to the early 1700 Christians that should have applied Deuteronomy 13 to that cadre of Enlightenment and Masonic theistic rationalists meeting in an upper room in Pennsylvania. They should have used Deuteronomy 13 on those men and never let those Masonic Enlightenment guys get away with what they were doing, and held them accountable and took dominion. The Christians could have taken dominion themselves, and did as what was done in the early 1600s by their Puritan predecessors. I'm sorry, Butch, I cut you off.
That's all right. That's perfectly fine. We're right out of time. This has been a fast hour, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'm sure folks that have a lot of questions, and folks, if you do, if you want a copy of one of those books, if you want to send a donation, I'll see who gets it. If you want a copy, if you want to just say, send me two or three of the books that Ted may think is most important, I'll see who gets the message. But people, when you get them, study them. You're going to be shocked at how far base we've been. Believe me, I'm not throwing stones. I come from so far behind the pack through ignorance. No, I thought I was a patriotic, intelligent believer, but I wasn't. And I will tell you this, one of the chapters, one of the books I wrote, Ted, is entitled Patriotic Idolatry. And that's flying rampant in our country today. I mean, we still have young men and women being slaughtered and think they're doing God's will in this country. Now, we're down about the last minute, so what do you want to say in closing?
Well, I'll piggyback on what you said, you know. And, you know, of course, we're always hoping that people will take advantage of what we're offering here because of the implications, the impact of what we're talking about. And if you care about America, if you care about your posterity and what they're facing, then please at least give this an opportunity. I couldn't be more urgent about the need for us to recognize what an idol the Constitution and the Declaration are. And there's, again, two books there directed specifically at that. And, again, they can find them if nowhere else. They can find them on our online book page. And or get the primer. Take the 10-question Constitution survey and at least get the primer. It's only 85 pages, and I'm pleased to send it out because I love America. And I love my posterity, and I don't want them, you know, I don't want to see them doing what Christianity is doing right now, and that's begging for scraps under the tables of their secular masters. And occasionally Amen. They'll get one. They'll maybe get a judgment in the courts, but, you know, even a master who kicks his dog regularly will occasionally throw him a bone, but he's still begging for the scraps underneath the secular masters. That's not God's plan for his subjects and his ambassadors. He wants us to take dominion, but until we're not going to accomplish it until these idols are taken down in the hearts and minds
Amen.
Of them, particularly
Amen.
Christians.
Well, Ted Whalen, thank you so much again for all you've done, and God bless you for your courage. I know you don't draw a lot of big crowds with what you preach, but that's okay.
That's okay.
I understand that. And, you know, even the ones who follow Christ in masses forsook him at the last, so we shouldn't be too excited about that. But God bless you, friend, and I'll be in touch in the near future, okay? We'll do it again.
Thanks, Butch.
God bless you, friend. Thank you.
You too.
And folks, I realize what you heard tonight is foreign to a lot of people, and I don't teach it and preach it and support it to make anybody angry. I'm telling the truth because I actually care. Our nation has forgotten God. At its best, its righteousness is a filthy rag. We have done nothing, or very little, to glorify God for many years in this country. Let's repent before him as individuals. Let's stand for the truth and ask him to please be glorified in us and teach us his ways. Let's do that. Let's not just talk about it, let's do it. We run out of time so quickly, and you know that. And don't forget this weekend, folks, go and have Bible study. Hope you'll join us. I really mean that. It's been a while because of different things, sickness and different things, but and keep Joe in your prayers and Jenny's sister Lori in your prayers. As you get older, folks, things change, and our time to serve in Christ gets scarcer every day. But help, let's pray for each other, help each other through this. Let me glorify our Father in heaven. I'll see you tomorrow night, Lord willing. God bless. Bye-bye.
Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.